Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you're here with us. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you can do that as well. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. I didn't wax as poetically about the weather today as I usually do because I have somebody to help me with it. Milt Radford's here to talk about dry conditions, because unless some completely unforeseen weather system dumps on the region in the next few hours, Medford and a few other locations around the area will set records for the least precipitation in a calendar year. Nothing fell yesterday, and if today is the same, Medford will be a hair under 9 inches of precipitation for the entire calendar year. That's the least to fall in any calendar year since record-keeping began more than a century ago, and less than half of what is considered average for Medford. For some perspective, then, on what has happened and what might happen as 2014 unfolds, Milt Radford's back with us. He is he's a meteorologist at KTVL News 10, the CBS affiliate in Medford, and the backup exchange host. Milt, nice to be in the same room with you for a change.
Yeah, it is. Different microphone, different look.
I know. Yeah. And you had to say, can you turn my headphones up for me instead of having the controls yourself? Sorry about that. Not a control freak thing, I swear.
Right.
First of all, that occurs as we look at these, because as I look at the climate records, they do measure both calendar year and water year.
Yes.
Why do we have a water year starting September 1st in addition to the calendar year that we all recognize?
Well, at least for meteorologists and people in agriculture, a water year is a more important measure, and it will vary slightly depending on where you live in the country as to what the start and end date is. And, for example, it really has to do with the precipitation regime. Eugene gets twice as much precipitation in a year as Medford, but Eugene starts, I believe, on October 1st. Medford starts September 1st and then goes, you know, through the rest of the year. And it's a little more accurate way to actually measure things in a calendar year for most places.
All right. I noticed, too, that having been through, I don't know, I'm getting close to 30 years in the Medford area now for myself, that there are numbers that are lower. I mean, so you can end up actually with less precipitation in a water year, but a little more in a calendar year, because I think the record for lowest water year is somewhere about a tenth of an inch or 1/1500ths of an inch less than what we're looking at for this calendar year.
That's right. It can vary a little bit that direction.
All right. So I noticed that yesterday that between the 29th and the 30th, Medford nudged up about 2/100ths of an inch. This is not cause for celebration, though, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, this is way below. And as you look around the entire region, there's some pretty impressive numbers. Most communities are running anywhere from about 25% to 50% of average. As you mentioned up front, Medford's about 50%. Mount Shasta City has only had, I think, 10 inches of precipitation this year. And their normal is right around 40. And, of course, we include both rain and snowfall in that. The generic formula for snowfall is a 10-to-1 ratio, but that varies greatly. If you're in the Rockies where people love the powder, it's a much higher ratio. You get out closer to the coast, then that's a lower number. But 10-to-1 is a good ballpark figure for snow to rain conversion.
All right. So 10 inches of snow is going to equal 1 inch of water generally?
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. All right. But then if you're close to the coast, it could be 5-to-1 or something?
Exactly.
So it's remarkable not just for the overall perspective on the calendar year. And again, we're talking 8.99 has fallen thus far in Medford, where the normal value is 18.15. And I understand that as of today, that value is up to 18.25 for normal. So there'd normally be 1/10 of an inch of rain falling. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at all.
No, just incredibly dry. And you look at last summer and all of the wildfires we had. The best form of precipitation in the winter is stored, which is snow. It's not just making skiers happy and snowboarders, but ranchers and farmers and firefighters the next summer. And so we're not getting much of anything either way. And certainly Mount Ashland and Shasta Ski Park, folks are closed down because even though Shasta had a limited opening with their man-made snow last week, it's not enough to sustain a full opening.
Now, these are normally some of the most heavy precipitation days of the year, aren't they? My memory
exactly.
Is that between Christmas and New Year's, it seems like this is when things really dump.
Yeah, in the Medford area specifically, this is the highest number for the year.
All right. Well, I noticed that the rains of late 96 leading to the New Year's Day flood in 97 were extreme, but this is generally when a lot of precipitation falls. What is the general operator then? We were just taking a look at this satellite map. It's nice to see somebody who actually knows what in God's name is going on out there with me, but everything seems to be curling around us.
Yes, we have what's called a blocking high. There's several different types of blocking systems. Most of them are high pressure. You can get a couple different blocking lows, which can just drench you, but those are more something you'd see perhaps in the southeast part of the country. For us, blocking highs are actually kind of common. We have some different names for them. One, we were joking about Rex Block, which sounds like the best name ever for a TV meteorologist. But there was a meteorologist named Rex, and he actually discovered this. And we are the part of the world that has the most Rex Blocks, and that is high pressure over the Pacific Northwest and then low pressure over Southern California. So it's usually reversed from what we normally see. You get a strong offshore flow, very dry conditions. You get the Chetko effect with those really high temperatures in Brookings as a result of that. We've had two or three different kinds of blocking highs. The other thing about a blocking high is highs move much slower than low pressure systems. So if you get a blocking high as opposed to a blocking low, it's likely to stick around a lot longer. It's not unusual to see these things hang around for weeks at a time. And we've seen a couple of things, a lot of storm systems curling around the top, as you mentioned. So anywhere from south central to southeast Alaska have been getting hit with heavy precipitation this winter. Even Washington State is doing pretty well for precipitation. But once you get to that Oregon border, things start to fall off a lot, especially anywhere south of the Umpqua Divide. And California has just been hit really hard. San Francisco and L.A. are both on track for also having record low precipitation years.
Low precipitation.
Yeah, okay. And so around San Francisco, they're deeply concerned about the upcoming agricultural season because reservoir levels are extremely low. I mean, not just southern Oregon, but especially around northern California, some very low levels.
We're talking to Milt Radford here on the Jefferson Exchange. Yes, he's the backup host on the exchange, but he's also a meteorologist, and we're talking about the conditions as we approach the end of this calendar year with record dry years looking for a lot of communities around us. Let's hear your stories about what you're noticing about effects of the continued dry conditions. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. It doesn't seem, you know, there are times, honestly, when you watch the animations on the satellite and imagery, and I do go to intellicast.com if folks want to go to the same place to look at these animations. There are times when it really does look like there's a dome over us, particularly in the warmer parts of the year.
Yes.
Where things just curl around. It's not quite as well defined now, but it is a similar situation.
That's right. Once you get into May, I always look toward about Memorial Day, after that point in time, you're pretty much done for the water year. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, one of my first summers that I was in Medford, we went 13 weeks with no measurable precipitation. Well, that's exactly one season, and it was only off by a week. We went from the second week of June to the second week of September with nothing. And so, and even if we do have some precipitation in the summer, it's rarely more than an inch or two. It's, once you hit May, you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed that too. And it also seems like in many winters, what you'll get in the Rogue Valley is that there'll be this February dry-up time,
right,
where the storms seem to stop, the sun comes out, and it actually gets unseasonably warm for a while. We either go back and resume winter storms,
yes,
or it all just stays stopped at that point, and it looks like that's what happened this particular calendar year.
We sometimes call it the February fake-out. It's it's not exactly a meteorological term, but it works well enough. And yes, it's very common here that you'll get that. And it's just a brief break, a lull in the precipitation regime. You're still in February and into March. You're still in a part of the year where rain is common in the area.
Does it balance out then? I mean, if there are storms that look like they're definitely curving around us, away from us, are there areas that are getting above normal precipitation? I mean, does it balance out over the course of the face of the planet?
Yeah, it pretty much does. I mean, the Earth is a convective heat engine, and it transfers energy from one place to another.
Hang on, convective heat engine?
Well, just basically it's moving the atmosphere from the equator poleward, and you see that a lot. You know, it works on both the northern and the southern hemispheres. Systems spin the opposite direction. because I shouldn't throw out all these terms, but the Coriolis effect as it spins around. So if you have high pressure systems that are rotating clockwise in the northern hemisphere like they do, then in the southern hemisphere they work counterclockwise. And if you go to one of these maps like you have here where you look at that, you can see how that works. And generally the west side of continents anywhere in the world are drier and the east side are a little wetter. And, you know, you think about that. For example, people are always surprised to hear this, but New York City has more annual precipitation than Seattle. It's just Seattle, it comes in these, you know, short little bursts, and it's kind of a lighter rain. And in New York, it's these huge thunderstorms, these gully washers. So actually, you know, we do have a pretty pronounced dry season on the West Coast.
I'm only smiling because somebody once referred to Seattle's conditions as, well, it's not a wet rain. Wasn't quite sure how you could achieve that.
Yeah.
It's, as you mentioned, then San Francisco and Los Angeles as well, dry. So how, and but all the way up through Oregon, but into Washington, it looks like things are fairly normal?
Yeah, a little bit to the north of us, the way this is situated and spinning around. We have some statistically average systems. One is what we call a subtropical high-pressure system off the coast of California. One of the other jokes is Oregon doesn't have its own weather. Our weather is either California or Alaska, one of the two. So in the summer, that high pressure expands, and we get very dry conditions in southern Oregon especially. And in the winter, that high contracts, and the Aleutian low moves into our area and pushes all these storms through. And so what's happening this year is that high pressure is blocking, as we said before, it's blocking that Aleutian low from working its way in. So that's one of the reasons, as you look at the map almost every day, Alaska is getting pounded with precipitation, Washington State's getting a fair amount this year, and it's a bust for southern Oregon and northern California.
You did live in Alaska before you moved to Oregon. So, and what are the conditions up there? Are they getting pounded?
Well, they're getting a lot of snow in south central and a lot of rain in southeast Alaska, rain-snow mix down that way, more than they typically would by this point in the year, yeah.
Let us take a call. We have Cynthia and Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking the dry year with Milt Radford, meteorologist.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to thank you for elaborating on the air advisory. Because sometimes when an air advisory is noted on the weather report, it doesn't really sink in terms of what that means, mm-hmm. in terms of people's actions, and I don't know that people even really know whether that means no burning for wood stoves or fireplaces or any burning.
It usually does go hand in hand. But
yeah, because I think there needs to be a little more awareness because people just keep throwing the wood in no matter what. But so I thank you for that. And then I also wanted to find out your meteorologist whether he thinks that condensation is something that can be factored in. I know the redwood forests stay alive partly because they're so good at creating condensation. And maybe there could be a comment on that.
All right. Thanks for that, Cynthia. I appreciate it.
Yeah, they have the redwoods, especially where they're located. Fog is very common, and all fog is a low cloud. Anytime you reach a saturation level of 100% in the atmosphere, you have a cloud. Most clouds stay in the sky, but here in southern Oregon and some of the northern California valleys recently, we've had ground level clouds, fog, for days on end. The redwoods have a lot of fog because of where they're located. That's very typical to a large section of coastal northern California and some of coastal Oregon, the southern coast as well.
Cold ocean and warm air.
That's right. And so that really does help spur their growth. The redwoods are often able to continue to grow quite in a healthy way. I know here at Southern Oregon University, they've studied the redwoods, in fact, and the history of those. And so they get a little more precipitation even in a dry year as a result of that.
We have an email from John in Eugene, and he found my discomfort zone. He says, a reminder that 19 inches is not normal precipitation. It is average. A year with 9 inches and a year with 29 inches gives an average of 19 inches, with no years being normal. I was being careful to try to say average, but I probably did say normal. He puts a question here as well. We have a very short record of yearly rainfall. Is there evidence of record dry spells back in 1200 BC, 12 million BC? Do we have much way of knowing?
That's sort of out of my job description. I'll say this. Among the atmospheric sciences, you have meteorologists, and we look out about 7 days, and then we go blind after that. And climatologists are the ones who study some of the longer periods. I don't know the specific answer to that. I know that one time for a station I worked at, I did do a story here at SOU on the redwoods, and we had a piece of tree that was, I believe, 700 years old that we were looking at. And you could go back hundreds of years and find very dry periods and very wet periods. So it has existed in the past.
So you said you go out 7 days and then go blind, but is there any indication that the pattern will change anytime soon? I mean, is there yeah. reason to believe that 2014 could be any different from 2013?
Well, you know, one little thing that the National Weather Service was looking at, I think just yesterday, was that there looks like sometime around next week, maybe the middle of next week, we might see this persistent pattern break up. The blocking high can't last forever. So certainly we'll get some precipitation, and it's going to be in the second half of the water year.
All right, let's sneak in another call here from Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Milt Radford. We're talking about the weather.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on. It would be overreaching to say that global warming is causing this. But it would also seem to be inaccurate to say it has no influence at all. So I'm wondering what, if any, influence Milt would understand about the relationship between global warming and our dry spell here.
One of us had to ask it, and glad it was you. Thanks, Brad.
Well, there's two specific things. It's really hard still for science to say something like Superstorm Sandy or Hurricane Katrina are linked to global climate change. It's just the science isn't there yet. Intuitively, you can think that, well, there probably is some influence. When you look at longer-term things, persistent drought or an area that's getting persistent rain for long periods of time, it's a little easier to try to connect those dots. The science is still trying to catch up with what you intuitively sort of feel about those events.
All right, but at this point, way too early to think in terms of 2014 and overall patterns.
That's correct.
All right. Well, Milt, always good to see you here. Nice to have you here in person with me instead of the usual deal, which is when you're here, I'm not.
That's right.
So good to have Milt Radford is a meteorologist over at KTVL Channel 10 in Medford, CBS affiliate. And I guess you're doing the weekdays right now, aren't you?
Well, I've been filling in on the weekdays. Yeah, I normally just do weekends.
All right. Well, good to have you here again. And that'll do it for this segment. Let's go to Garrison Keillor.